Luke chapter 15 in your Bible this morning. Luke chapter 15. I want to thank you, Pastor Tidd, for entrusting me to speak to your church family. I want to thank you for your consistent testimony, and you and your wife, and your church. You have a good testimony. Churches have testimonies, and what a blessing that is, and what a privilege to be here for Russell's ordination. Thank you so much for making me a part of it. And we're all part of the same family if we know Christ. And it's just, there's some things that are just special. And I really believe this is a very special time, not just for them, but I'm thankful to be a part of it. And God's so good to us. And I guess your pastor and wife just got back from the Holy Land, and I'm sure you're glad to have them back. At least I hope you are. Amen. I was pausing for an amen there. I'd hope. At least two of you, I thought, would say amen. But they're great folks. Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to be speaking to you this morning about the prodigal son. And of course, it's one of those biblical accounts that we think sometimes we know all about, but there's so many precious truths here. In this passage, the Lord Jesus was speaking to sinners and the scribes and Pharisees, and the religious group came in and were questioning him, and he began to speak to them in parables. And he spoke first of all about the parable of the lost sheep, and that pictures the Jesus, the Son of God, rescuing that one sheep that he cared so much about. And then he gave the parable of the lost coin and the woman, which I believe pictures the church searching for that thing that was precious. And then she lit a lamp, and I believe that's the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit, illuminating God's people and helping us to give the message of the gospel of Christ. And then in our passage today, the account of the prodigal son. And the Bible says here, I want you to notice in just a moment, that it says there was a certain. I don't believe this is talking about just a story that the Lord created. I believe there was really a family, and there were a couple boys here, and especially one we're going to look at today. So if you're able this morning, in honor of the scripture, would you stand, and we'll begin in verse 11 and read this wonderful account. Luke chapter 15, verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he delivered unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger gathered together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country, and they sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? And I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose and came to his father. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat. Be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Our Heavenly Father, I know I'm a feeble instrument, but Lord, I would ask in your strength and for your glory that I'd be used today to bring the truths of Scripture that bring life to our present life and salvation to our souls. Help us, Lord Jesus, to look to you today And we pray that you'd be lifted up, that folks would understand how much you love them, how much you want them to have eternal life, how much you care about us in our everyday lives. Bless these moments, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Blind to Blessings. This parable account of the prodigal son, to me, it's kind of like the picture of the Mona Lisa. Now, is she smiling or is she frowning? Maybe your attitude that day, I don't know, but you look at that picture, you're kind of not sure, and you keep looking because you'd like to know the answer. And I think in some ways this particular passage is like that, in that is this talking about a lost boy, a lost young man who gets saved? And I think we could say, well, yes, it is. It says, this my son which was lost is found. Or is it talking about a believer who got so far away from the Lord that he just about destroyed his life and he got right with God? I think the answer is yes in both cases. I think it speaks to both. And I think that was, I believe, I may be wrong and God will straighten me out when I get to heaven, and that's all right. I believe it's talking to both, and I believe it can be applied to both. My first point is the loser. In verses 11 through 13, we see so many things here, but one of the things we see is pride. This young man had developed some pride in his life, and you know, the Bible says, first cometh pride, then cometh shame. It's always that way. It isn't, well, not this time. No, it's always that way. When we are proud in our lives, no matter what our station, position in life, it's going to cost us. And shame will come into our lives. So he was proud. Then he was selfish. Pride and selfishness will blind you to the reality of the blessings of God. Just make so you can't see them. You don't see them. Maybe you don't want to see them. Or maybe you're angry about something, you just exclude them from your life, or maybe just absentmindedly you're not aware that they're there anymore. You don't see the beauty of a sunrise. You don't maybe look at your mom and dad and thankfulness wells up in your heart. Perhaps you don't look at your wife and say, and thank God for, or your husband, or your friends. Friends are so special. You know, people that care about you when no one else does, and they care even when you're wrong. Friends are so special. You just miss the blessings of life when you just can't see. And the reason is, and I believe this is true, we see the blessings of life based upon our relationship with our Heavenly Father. We really do. If that relationship isn't what it's supposed to be or what it was meant to be, you're going to miss the blessings in this life. I mean, you're just not going to see them. They may be all around you, but you can't see them. You're blind to them. And that's the way this young man was. He was a loser because he couldn't see right. You'll notice it says here, his great disrespect. He says, give me. Give me. It didn't seem like the father meant anything to him. Just give me. Sometimes we go to God in prayer and we say, Lord, I want one of these. Just give it to me. We forget who he is and that he knows really what's best for us. And we try to take command of our own lives. You notice the ingratitude. Give me that which befalleth me. In other words, this son is going to his father and he's saying, give me what's mine. I want it and I want it now. Boy, we live in that generation, don't we? We go up to the microwave and we push the button and we're going. You know, you used to have to put the water in a tea kettle and wait. And I noticed my wife this morning, we stayed in a motel over here and she put some bagels in the toaster. And I think she said to the gal, I think, watch pot never boils or something, the gal next to her, I think that was her comment. And we just can't wait. We can't wait. I want it now. As a matter of fact, I wanted it already. When's already? Yesterday. I don't care. I just want it. I am so impatient. And this son goes to his father and says, give me what's mine. Now, we know he had an elder brother, and in this in the culture in those days in Israel, we believe that the elder brother would have gotten 2/3 of the inheritance and the younger brother would have gotten 1/3 if there were just 2 boys. It looks like that's the way it was. And so he just asked for his 1/3. He said, give it to me. The disrespect and the ingratitude. And I think we could have inserted this without any problem. It's my life. I'll do what I want to. Loser. Let me say here, it's not your life. The Bible says, remember the Creator, thy Creator, in the days of thy youth. Ecclesiastes 12. Amen. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Remember, God, somebody created you. God did. Yeah. And it's wise for you to remember him now. You say, well, I'm not young anymore. Remember him now. And when it says now, I think it means right now. In other words, this moment, remember the Lord. This is the opposite of really the believers, what the believer's attitude should be. Philippians 1:21, where Paul said, for me to live is Christ. He was the very opposite. It's my life. I can do what I want, and it's not our life. And this young man missed everything important here in these years of his life, it seems like. He took everything that was important for granted. The people in his life, some of us are getting older now, how we would cherish a moment to be able to go back and talk to our mom. Or grandparents. Wow. The questions I'd ask now. When they were here, they were always going to be here. Well, you're talking about God the Father. I know that, but I'm telling you, there are blessings all around us, and if we're not careful, we miss them. Yeah, we don't enjoy the things that God meant for us to enjoy. And this young man was a loser here. The Bible says in verse number 30, I won't go there, but all that he had, thy living, all that he took, belonged to his father, and it was given to him. I want you to notice, secondly, the lingerer in verses 14 through 16, the Bible says he began to be in want. And when he was in want, when he realized the cash is gone, it's all gone. He had lived immorally. The Bible says that he squandered his living with harlots, if we'd have read further. But immorality always brings wantonness. Let me say that again. Immorality always brings wantonness. It not only brings guilt, it brings wantonness. It brings us down in life. It destroys the good things in our life. And when someone thinks they're getting what they want, they're losing everything they have. He devoured his living with harlots. You know, Hollywood has made immorality look attractive and appealing and fulfilling. And now, presently, I guess we've got actors telling us how to live. It might be nice if they showed us how to live, because they don't know how. They can make sin look as attractive as they want and look as fulfilling as they can, but it does none of those things in our lives that are good. You'll find that most people, by the way, I'm not against government assistance. I think there are sometimes better ways to do things. A lot of the time, as my wife through the years, as pastor and wife, and someone's called and said, I need some help. And people get in a place sometimes where they need some help. And somebody calls and says, I've got a house full of kids here. We're out of food. Can you help? Well, what do you say? We'll try to help. Let me tell you, often we are so discouraged from helping people because often there is so much immorality and waste that it discourages you from helping them. A specific illustration, my wife and I, One time we're called to, can you bring us some food? Our kids don't have anything to eat. What are you going to say? Well, sure. We went to the grocery store and bought several bags of groceries. We're headed for their house, my wife and I. And I never go on those alone, by the way. I always try to take my wife or somebody else. And we get there and we find the house. And there's a guy carrying in a case of beer. Now, wait a minute. There's no money for food, but there's money for usually cigarettes and beer. Now, I'm not saying everybody on government assistance doesn't need it or everybody's like that. Please don't get that idea. And people get in bad positions, don't they? I just hope I'm never there. But it happens to people. But when you pull up there to give them some food and they've got money for wrong things, but they don't have money for right things, you begin to realize that when the boyfriend shows up with a case of beer, that immorality brings wantonness. You're not going to get ahead with being immoral. And this young man turns then he turns to join the crowd, verse number 15. He joined himself, let me read it again, and he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country, and they sent him into the fields to feed swine. You know, often when someone gets in trouble, they still turn the wrong direction. And he turned himself, these are the people he'd been with, he joined himself to the citizens of that country. And what happened to him? He was in want. He went from someone who couldn't see what he had. Now he's in such a mess, he's made it so bad that he thinks he's going to die because he doesn't even have enough to eat. What a sad position to be in. But I think even worse than that, no one cared. The Bible says here in verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. No one cared. To be in that position is awful, but to realize that no one cares. Where he was, no one cared. The Bible says in Psalm 142, in verse 4, I looked on my right hand, and behold, there was no man that would know me. Wow. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I'm thankful to know that Jesus cares. I'm thankful there's a Heavenly Father that cares. In verses 17 through 19, something changed. Something changed because this young man turned. He finally realized, he finally got it. Now, let me tell you something. Everybody doesn't always get it when they get to the bottom. Some people get to the bottom and they just keep going down. And some people go down until they're literally, physically dead. But this man turned. I believe he repented. He turned. He looked the other direction. He began to see things. And he was no longer the loser. He was no longer lingering. He, in a sense, he saw the light. He said, I'll go back to my father's house. Repentance. He's still thinking and planning. You know, even when you repent, you've got your own ideas. You know, I'll just get right with God and I'll do this and this and this. In other words, he had his own outline. He says, if things work out, you know, I'll go to my father's house and I'll just beg for mercy. You know, when you don't know God or don't know how God works, you get your own ideas about what he's going to do. I mean, you've got it pretty much made up in your mind. You think you know what you're doing. You think what he's going to do. But the wonderful thing here is he's no longer blind to blessings. It's amazing. Nothing really changed in the father's house, but he saw it all different. Now that was a place he wanted to be. It wasn't a place that he just let me out of here. I can't wait to get out of here. I can't wait to leave this place. All these rules. Can't wait to get away from those rules. I know some of you are not going to believe this, but rules are such a blessing. Amen. If they're godly rules. Many years ago now, I'm not going to tell you how many because my wife's still young. And I'm so thankful she's here with me. But our daughter went to spend a summer counseling in a camp. And it was her after her first year of Bible college, and she went to be a counselor. And she came home. I can't remember whether we picked her up or whether somebody brought her home. I don't remember how it worked. Some things don't matter anyway. But I can remember this. I remember when my daughter saw me and I saw her, that she ran up to me and flung her arms around me and said, "Daddy, thank you." Of course, I had no idea why she was thanking me. She had counseled young girls all summer. She said, "Thank you for not letting me ride home with the babysitter. Thank you for this. Thank you for not letting me do that. Thank you for not letting me do this." Because she'd counseled young ladies and some of the problems that they'd had, and she was thanking me for the rules. Rules? Really? Yeah, she was thanking me. Took her a long time, but she finally got to it. And if you got godly parents, you will too someday. Those rules aren't bad things. They're made in love. But he was no longer blind to blessings. He was no longer filled with pride. He was no longer filled with ingratitude. He was no longer demanding his rights. Something changed in this boy's heart. He turned around, and that's what repentance is. It's turning around. It's about face. At one time, you're headed toward hell, and you turn to Jesus Christ, and you're headed a whole new direction toward heaven. God had worked in this young man's life. And he said in verse 19, "I'm no more worthy." By the way, he wasn't worthy to begin with. He just figured it out. When you realize you're just a lump of mud, but God loves you, and you're a sinner, but God loves you, and you're somebody because God loves you, you'll turn to him and not run from him. He's the author of life. You're not going to get life any other way. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Well, I've got my own idea. Your idea is wrong. This is real repentance, real godly sorrow. But the wonderful beauty in this story comes at the end. There's nothing like it. It's one of the most amazing stories of compassion in the entire Bible. It's almost, if we could write it humanly, it couldn't happen this way. We see the love of the Heavenly Father in verses 20 through 24. I want you to notice just a couple verses here. In verse number 20, I want you to notice, if you're still there. "But he arose and came to his father." And I've circled in my Bible that next word. But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. I want you to notice again in verse 22. "But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry." See, the son thought when he got right, "I'll be a servant my father's house." By the way, he was satisfied to be a servant in his father's house, and so am I. He was satisfied to just, "I'll just serve him. I'll just do what he says. I'll just jump at his command. That's what I want to do. I just want to be a part of the Father's house." But the wages of sin is death. But The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. A long time ago, I was in my mid-20s. My wife had gotten saved, and the preacher's wife kept coming around, and the pastor led her to the Lord at the doorway. The preacher's wife kept coming around and driving us crazy. Every time you turn around, I want you to come to church Sunday and I'll pick you up. She said, I have a car. I'll pick you up. I'll be here. But I have a car. No, I'll pick you up. And she did. What a pain. One Sunday, my wife came home and said, honey, I want to get baptized. What? All I saw was dollar signs. That church wants my money. I didn't have any money. I don't know what I was worried about. Finally, I said, okay, honey, if you're going to get baptized, don't do it this Sunday, but I'll start going to church, or I'll go and I'll check it out. So I went to church. That preacher, he's a farmer. He had big old hands. I don't know if it was milking cows or what. He had big old hands. And he'd point it, and this was just a little bitty Baptist church. It's about the size of this right here, old cement block building. I think there was one or two steps in the altar. And that preacher, when he preached, spit all over everything. I mean, just sweat profusely. I don't know how he kept sport coats and suits. I mean, he point that fat finger right at my nose. You say, well, he was pointing at someone else. No, he wasn't. I was there. And you know how you leave. I'm never going back there. I was under so much conviction. I could not sleep. I heard my heartbeat. And I asked God, I didn't know him, but I asked him, please let my heart, and you think this is just preaching. This isn't preaching. This is exactly what I did. I said, God, please let me live long enough to get saved. I was under so much conviction, I didn't want to go to hell. That Sunday morning, that preacher preached again. I have no idea what he preached then. Just give the invitation. It's time to come forward. And I asked my wife, I'm so brave. Would you go with me? We went down front. That preacher, it was right here in that church. And he took the Bible and led me to Christ. His tears are falling from his eyes and hitting the pages of the Bible. And I trusted the Lord, but I said all that to say this. I thought big things were going to happen because he said, boy, when you get saved, there's a new name written down in glory, and the angels are singing in heaven, and everything's going to happen. I thought, man, it's going to be great. Nothing happened. Well, what do you think then? You don't blame the preacher. You don't say, you didn't tell me right. I thought, I didn't do it right. But I just went on, and I got out of church that day. It's like everything in this whole universe changed. I looked at my wife, and she was different. My children were different. I looked at the sunshine. I heard the birds sing. It's like they had a new song. It's like they were different. The clouds were different in the sky. And that night, I still remember our farm in Diamonddale, Michigan. You all know where that is. Our farm in Diamonddale, Michigan, that night I saw the sky, and I looked up in it like I'd never seen it before in my life, because I knew the one that created it. He did do something. That day I got saved, he forgave my sin and gave me eternal life and abundant life. What I want you to see before I'm through this morning, I want you to see that word again, but the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, this boy went home and he must have stunk. Hog stink. I don't, you can, if there's a hog farm, that's what we called them, about a mile away, you knew if the wind was blowing in that direction, you knew it was there. This boy stunk. He probably had old ratty clothes on. He was hungry, malnutrition, just, he must have looked terrible. But when that father saw him, you know, everybody's got to walk. You know what I'm talking about? When that father saw him, he knew who his boy was. And he saw him a great way off, and he had compassion on him. He didn't say, it's about time you came home, boy. He had compassion on him. That's the way God sees us. If you're away from the Lord today, that's the way God sees you. If you're not saved, that's the way God sees you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be part of the family of God. And he saw him, and he ran to meet him. The father ran to meet him. I didn't see all that when I got saved, but I'm telling you something. That's what was going on. The Spirit of God came to meet me. The Bible says he fell on his neck and kissed him. And the real thing there, he just didn't give him a kiss. He kissed him and kissed him and kissed him. I'm thankful you're home. I'm glad you're home. Thank God you're home. You think, well, preacher, it's over. He's home. No, it's not over. It's just starting. Get a robe. We get, God doesn't just leave us stinking. He cleans us up. Yeah. Put a robe on him. What kind of robe? We get a white robe. A white robe. Why do we get a white robe? Because it's significant of the forgiving power and the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. He cleanses us from all sin. We don't come home and he rehearses everything we did wrong. We do. He doesn't. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Son, come on home. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we find forgiveness. We're clothed in white raiment. And then the Bible says he gets a new authorization. The Bible says, put a ring on his hand. That's family authorization. Put a ring on his hand. And he's authorized in the family of God. What's he authorized to do? To go to the throne of grace, to come before the Father. He can now pray. He's a part of the family of God. We have boldness to pray because of the work of Jesus Christ, because of the forgiving power of God, the grace and mercy of God. Not that we deserve it, but he's opened that door of prayer for us. We've got a new message. Put shoes on his feet and a new song in our heart. Shoes, the preparation of the gospel of peace that he gives us new shoes. We got a new way to go. We're going for God now. What's our message? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. We have the blessed privilege, not the big responsibility, the blessed privilege of telling others they too can be saved. Amen. And God gives us a song with that. I got a song that your music guy was teasing me. He said, when I turned this on, he said he was going to record me, or not music guy, your sound guy, he was going to record me singing during the congregational singing, and I sang so bad, I said, if you record that, everybody's leaving. But I'm telling you something, I got a new song in my heart. Amen. When I trusted Christ as my Savior. God gives you a new song. And he says, it's time for a feast, a celebration. You know, this world says, turn your back on God and you'll have some fun. That's a lie. You ever hear that saying, there's strings attached? There's a rope attached to that, not just a string. Turn to God and you'll have joy. It really is not just a song. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the half has never yet been told. I've never had so much fun since I've been a believer. I'm not going to tell you everything I did bad before I got saved, but I'm going to tell you there's nothing in there I want to remember. But the wonderful thing is God said he'll remember it no more. What about you today? Do you see the blessings that are around you? Your heart filled with gratitude? Or perhaps you've never seen them. You've never seen the sky so blue. You've never seen the stars at night and marveled at your loving Heavenly Father who seemed like He just put them up there for you to see that night. You never heard a bird sing in the springtime, and it wasn't just, well, that's pretty. It was, isn't that interesting how God put that sound in that bird so maybe I could hear it? Never looked in maybe your mom or your dad or your brother or sister, even your brother or sister or friend or a church family. Said, thank you, Lord. Or maybe you used to, but you don't anymore. God hasn't moved. If you've turned away from Him, turn back to Him. Maybe you're just going through the motions of church. Wow, you're missing out. Maybe you're just going through the motions of walking with God. Come back to Him this morning. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, oh, how God loves you. You'll find so much more than you thought you were getting. You won't just find, I don't have to go to hell, even though that's worth getting saved for. You'll find fellowship with God and God's people. Let's bow our heads. I don't know most of you today, but I know if you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, you need Him. I wonder if there's someone here today that would like prayer about salvation. I wonder if there's someone here today that say, you know, preacher, I'm not sure I've ever been saved, but I'd like to know more about it. Folks are praying at the altar. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you let me pray for you? Is there someone here today that say, you know, preacher, I'm not sure I've ever been saved, and I'm concerned about it. Would you pray for me? Is there someone like that today? You just slip your hand up and you'd indicate to me that you need the Lord, and I'll pray for you in just a moment. Is there someone like that anywhere in here? Just slip your hand up. No one looking around but me, and I'll pray for you. Maybe everyone thinks you're saved, but you know in your heart of hearts, it's not true. Perhaps you're here as a Christian today, and God spoke to your heart. You know you're saved, but that fellowship just isn't there. Maybe you've wandered away from the Lord, or maybe you just don't have that wonderful relationship you used to have. Let me encourage you to come during the invitation today. Do business with the Lord. Let's all stand and I'm going to pray. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Word of God. Your love and grace and mercy is indescribable. What you've done for us, what you do for us, and what you're going to do is beyond that we could plan for and imagine for, to make us your own dear sons and daughters in the family of God. What a blessed privilege to have fellowship with Thee. I pray that if there's someone here this morning outside that fellowship, that they'd be restored, whether they're saved or gotten away from You. May You bless the invitation. I pray in Jesus' name.